You are listening to Schmimcast, a behind-the-scenes look at Improv Schmimprov, Orange County's most popular late-night improv comedy show, from the perspective of its cast members and creators. For the latest episodes of Schmimcast, please visit www.schmimcast.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter at the call sign twitter.com/Schmimcast. And of course, you can always come see Improv Schmimprov every Friday and Saturday night at 11 p.m. at the Maverick Theater in Fullerton, California. For information on upcoming Improv Schmimprov shows, please visit ImprovSchmimprov.com.
And now...
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
I have often walked down this street before, but the pavement...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Schmimcast, episode number 3. Yes!
Woo! Number three. I didn't know there was a second episode.
There was a second episode.
Really?
I did it by myself.
Well, it's better you do number 2 by yourself.
It was me. I had to clean my apartment afterwards, though, because it was a big mess.
Nice.
Yep. Painted the walls.
That's the way to make a number 2 work.
Well, we have a really special episode here today because this is the fantastic Poppy Moonzo, AKK. AKK.
AKK. Yeah, that works.
AKA Poppy Munoz, AKA Enrique Kike. How many other names do you have?
Oh, man. I don't know. Everybody seems to have some form of a nickname for me.
It's because you are loved by many.
Oh, well, thank you.
And we just choose to love you in many different forms and many different names.
That's right. That's right. And I choose to reciprocate your love with my love.
Oh.
Which typically means I just flatulate quite a lot.
Especially in people's faces.
Especially in people's faces possible. Or someone's mouth, if I can make it work.
That's the best spot.
I think so.
Or in the nose.
Like, I think I've only let that happen or made that happen one time.
You actually got it in someone's mouth?
Yeah, I farted in someone's mouth.
That's fantastic. Whose mouth did you fart in?
It was that.
Was it someone sleeping and their mouth was just gaping open and you were like, oh, and they're like.
She was actually hogtied on a table.
I know this story. And, I was there for it.
Yeah. She was hogtied on a table.
This poor girl.
And man.
We were in a show. She was hogtied. She was still alive, I guess. But afterwards, she probably feigned death.
I think
she couldn't stop laughing.
No.
She's got like a gag on her mouth. Yeah, she couldn't stop laughing.
She was supposed to have been dead because I believe they killed her in this scene. And me and my infinite genius decided, hey, you know what? She's not going to be moving. I really got to fart. So I just walk right over, put my butt right by her face. I just let it go, and it was one of those. I remember there just being fingernails digging into the buttock, and
that's what released the Kraken.
Yeah, you know, they released the Kraken.
As you can tell, this episode's going to have a lot of fart humor, ladies and gentlemen. So this is
the only kind
for.
Of humor.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is Schmimcast, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get into the meat, the bush of the episode, I would like to thank everybody out there who's been listening. Send us an email at schmimcast@aol.com, and we will maybe read your email on our show.
Ooh. Someone's email is going to get a plug on the show.
This episode.
Shenanigans
tons
will
fun,
ensue.
Super shenanigans. So let's begin with the story of Poppy, the history of
the
Enrique.
Life and times.
The life and times. You're a multi-talented dude.
I like to pretend to be.
No, you are, man. You're an actor, a singer, huge comic book fan, a improver now.
Yeah.
Although you've been improving before you got into Improv Schmimprov, right?
I did about 3 games unofficially.
3 whole games.
3 games unofficially. Okay. And I believe I did a couple. I did 1 drunk show. I did.
Oh, that's right. You did some unofficial Schmimprov games.
Yes.
Now, what got you into performing originally, like years ago?
Oh, man. When...
Did it just start out when you were a kid?
Yeah, actually.
And your parents were just like, play for us.
Tell tell us some jokes, boy. Okay.
Sing some Perry Como.
I actually didn't even start singing until I was a teenager. I mean, I was always a little bit of a ham, you know, the youngest of four.
Right.
You know, don't really get much attention.
The youngest. So did your older siblings fart on you? And that's
what you know what? They did, man. They actually did.
I knew it.
We used to have this game that we would play based on farts,
sweet,
man. And I forget what we would call it. It would be like my two brothers and then some of my I mean, there would be a lot of us because, you know, Mexican family, there's like, you know, 14 or 15 cousins and stuff. And we would all line up, pull down our pants and fart.
Oh, my God.
While one of the kids would smell the other one's butts. Oh. And the game was to see whose fart was the worst.
Holy shit. This is amazing.
Yeah, that was the game that we would play. I must have been like 4 years old when we used to do this tournament of farts.
So who would win? Would you win or did
Well, they typically had me as the judge.
Oh, you were the sniffer.
Because I was the youngest one. I was the butt sniffer. we used to have fart wars, too.
Fart wars,
oh yeah.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
There were, you know, three of us, my two older brothers and myself. And, you know, all of us would just always have farts coming around and stuff. And
So the fart wars would just be like who could rupture the loudest
wars was, you know, we would start farting and then my mom would come into the room and she would, you know, smell that the fart was just so overpowering. That she would come in and spray the room with air freshener, and then it was our goal to defeat the air freshener with the power of fart. And so we would have to eliminate all the air freshener from
the air freshener.
Yeah, that was the
that's hilarious.
Yeah, fart war.
I mean, it's amazing how farts are funny when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And yet still, as an adult, I find them hysterical.
I think that I was crying last night on stage.
Yes, you were.
During Improv when I farted.
That's awesome. I remember when I was a kid, like, we would have sleepovers, like, at a friend's house, and we thought it was hysterical. We'd be like, he'd like be farting and farting, and I remember my friend's dad would come in and he's like, I opened the door and just a bunch of blue smoke came out. I didn't know farts were blue, like. That's what he said, though.
Yeah, he's got one of those ultraviolet rays.
Oh, yeah, fart detector.
Yeah, fart detector.
Yeah, they probably, like, had something kind of chemical sprayed in the room.
Yeah,
so that
it must have been.
When we farted, the air would turn
blue
exactly. So that he knew we were farting. We probably should check in on that guy.
He's probably a fart detective.
You kids were eating Jolly Ranchers, weren't you?
How did you know?
Because the smoke's blue.
Because the smoke is blue.
So, back to your childhood
back
and
to
the
my
fart wars.
Fart wars. But yeah, like I said, you know, I'm the youngest of four. They pretty much got all the attention. My way to stand out from everybody else was to just kind of, you know, be a bit of a ham, tell jokes. But everything I told was just a regurgitation of something that I had heard before.
Okay.
You know, well, but just slightly different. You know, it's like, why did the chicken cross the road? And it would be like, oh, because, you know, there were tacos over there. And that was my joke. You know, I'm like 6 or 7 years old.
Why did the chicken
cross the road?
Because there were churros on the other side.
There were churros. Ooh, ooh, he likes the churros.
Muchos deliciosos. Is Bennett. Bennett. I'm flowing into Italian now.
It's from Bennett. Give me a Benti burrito.
Ooh, burritos más grandes del mundo. This is what Enrique and I do all the time. I don't know why.
We just growl at each other.
Ooh, bananas. So you did comedy. That's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was, basically just being a ham because, you know, watching a lot of the Spanish TV, they have these real stupid jokes on TV.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I didn't actually get involved in theater until I was also a teenager, but I did do shows at school. And that was kind of where the bug started. The very first musical I ever did, I was 16. And it was a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum.
Oh, okay.
I played the lead. I was Pseudolus. Now, again, mind you, I had never sang before in public, auditioned for the show. They were like, oh, you know, this guy can sing. And they cast me as the lead. And so here I am having no formal musical education, no musical training. I am just a raw voice in the show. And it was, to date, probably one of the biggest productions that my high school had done. I mean, I've gone back a couple times to see some of the shows that they have done. I just don't think that anything compares to to this production that we had done.
So since then, it's all been downhill for your school and their productions, basically.
I think so. It's like, yeah, man.
15 years later.
15
it's all,
years
it's still
later.
Still shit. They're like waiting for you to come back
exactly.
And like revolutionize.
Show us how to do it right.
They're like, oh, we need more fart humor.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need more farts. That's funny. If you were to see my performing back then compared to now, I was much more professional when I first started, you know?
Really?
Yeah, man. It was like, okay, I got to be quiet. If anybody's, guys, you got to shut up. We got to be professional about this thing, you know? And I was like all about keeping it together, you know, making it this cohesive thing. But, you know, you see me doing a show now and I'm walking around in my bathrobe and my chonies and, you know, not listening and... you know, opening night, and I'm like, what the hell was I supposed, what's my, blah, I'll make it up.
What's your lines?
Yeah, what's my lines?
What's my lines?
It's not important. I'll just make it
We're
up.
We're like feeding them to you on stage.
I'm walking around with a script still in my hand.
You got the lines written on your arm. You're like, oh, dude, look at my tattoo. Hark.
Alas, poor Yorick.
Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him well, Homoratio.
Homoratio.
That's not your name, is it?
You remember that when we did the show? When we did. You were in Hamlet.
I directed Hamlet, but Hamlet. Unfortunately... I wasn't there for every performance, so wreaked havoc on that show.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
we did.
After that, you were just like, what's this Shakespeare bullshit? It's boring.
I love Shakespeare, man. I'm actually classically trained.
I know.
Yes, I'm a classically trained actor.
Well, let's get into that.
I mean, high school, I want to say, was probably where most of my formal education
So you got your classical training there?
Mm-hmm. There was the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts. What? Every, like, 3 months would bring a representative to the school.
No way. Where the hell did you go to school?
It was just, it's a regular public high school in
Chino.
Public
high school in Chino, and they brought freaking people from
the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts. I feel like my high school, I really don't know, but I feel like my high school had a lot of support for the arts. We didn't have a good football team. Our sports really sucked. Academically, the school, I think, did really well academically and really excelled at the arts.
That's awesome.
So
you got classical training. Did you use Shakespeare or monologues or plays?
I did. My favorite show happens to be the show that she'll never be named on stage.
Hmm. Yes.
Yeah, Macbeth is...
Crack Death.
Crack Death is probably, I think, my favorite Shakespeare show that I had did in high school. But there were always the Shakespearean festivals. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I performed Julius Caesar. I did Taming of the Shrew. I did...
And was this when you were in high school? You were in these shows? And then how did you integrate farts into the Shakespeare? That's what I'm most curious
about. Well, you know, when you got characters named Bottom, you know... You know,
that's
hilarity
true.
Ensues.
Oh,
man,
yeah,
you
yeah.
Know,
fairies playing with your bunghole.
Exactly.
I am fairy and play with your bunghole.
Where did the flute go?
Change the characters' names in the show. You know, Romeo and Juliet's buddy was named Cornholio.
Cornholio. Did you really?
Yeah, man.
Cornholio.
I never won. I am Cornholio. Romeo, let's get out of here.
I got a fart. Yeah, you farted. Why didn't we do this show at the Maverick?
We did. It was called The Complete Works.
I was never a part
of it, except for the time I fell asleep under the stage.
We're performing.
While you guys were performing.
And Ricky's sleeping under the stage. He's like, wow, the stage is really bending. Eric must be
Eric must be here. To be or not to be hungry, that is the question.
Poor Eric. So far he's been mentioned in every single Schmim cast.
Has he really?
Only like in a really like mean way. Even when I was trying to apologize. The first episode I said he was a dick sometimes.
Yeah, and he can be, yeah.
And then the second episode, I was like, well, he's a really good guy, and he did some good things for me.
Right.
And now, nom, nom, nom.
But I mean, that's just shows that we love him, you know, because we can't openly make fun of him,
exactly.
And he will openly make fun of us, you know?
Oh,
I have nothing but love for that guy. He can be a dick, just like I can be an asshole.
Yeah. We all have our dark sides.
Exactly. Yep.
Dark sides. So, you did shows in high school with this performing arts thing?
Yes, I did. And then during high school, there was a community theater literally 3 blocks away from my house that I never even knew about. It was right next to
your parents didn't attend the community theater every weekend to see the next show.
You know, my parents aren't really...
I know, they're...
They don't even speak English.
I imagine your parents kind of stink being like at home people, family people.
Right, they're really family oriented. They have come to see the plays that I've done. They're very supportive of me when I do these shows. But for the most part, they're not going to go out and be like, oh, look, you know, Katz is playing. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Brigadoon!
Brigadoon!
Bring it on!
Equus, great show. Oh, the puppetry, the penis. Oh, let's watch that.
Doubt?
Oh, that sounds great. A one-man show of Superman. Let's go catch that.
Jeffrey. Oh. What's the homosexuality?
So, yeah, so there was this community theater a couple blocks away from my house, and this one girl that was in my class was the one that basically got everybody from our drama class to come and audition for one of these shows. When I found out that it was literally blocks away from my house, I was like, oh, cool. You know, the very first show I did there was Guys and Dolls.
Oh, I love that
and
show.
That was where I fell in love with Frank Sinatra.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because the director just gave me all kinds of Frank Sinatra tunes, and that was the start of that.
That's awesome. Did you play the lead?
No.
You didn't
play
the
Because you have
Sinatra
to play your dues, you know.
Of course.
They had no idea who the hell I was.
Yeah, so, you're a new guy in the block.
Yeah, I played ensemble, and I played Big Julie, the gangster from...
Oh, Big Julie, yeah.
The big gangster from New York.
It's
and I was like
role.
12 years old, and my voice hadn't been cracked yet. And I'm like, all right, everybody, let's shoot craps. Yeah, you know.
Let's show craps.
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to be this big.
Let's shoot craps.
They had me padded this gigantic freaking monkey suit. It was ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous.
That's
children's
awesome.
Theater. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And so once I graduated from high school, I had no other outlet but this theater, and I did just about every freaking show that I could do there. I mean, Boys Next Door, I did Cyrano de Bergerac, I did West Side Story. Oh, man, Cyrano de Bergerac is probably my favorite show of all time, if not all time.
It's an epic show, though.
Yeah.
Really,
and I got
is.
To play the leading role in that,
you
in that
played
show.
Cyrano?
That
wow.
was, I think, the last play I did at this theater. Was
That's a
Cyrano.
Huge, huge undertaking.
Oh,
place,
man,
you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You did all the sword fighting and all that,
All
too?
The sword fighting.
How'd they do the nose? Because you have to get a prosthetic or something.
The assistant director of the show, his father, did the special effects makeup for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Ooh.
And so I went to his makeup studio, and they put the whole plaster mask on me so they can make a face of me, and he sculpted several prosthetic noses that they would then, you know,
Holy
put on
shit.
Me at, you know, and he did it for free because it was his son's show. You
Normally
know?
That would have cost a fortune.
A fortune. I remember getting punched in the face during that show. And it split the prosthetic, but it hit me all the way to my actual skin, and it split my nose, and I started bleeding out the prosthetic. Cut my nose. You can see the scar still on my nose, and it looked freaking awesome.
Wow. You That's know? Cool. It looked like Cyrano's nose got broken.
Exactly.
That would be a cool, like, if they ever do another version on movie, they should actually have Cyrano's nose get broken.
Broken or something, yeah.
That'd be fucking
and
cool.
It's all like
the, Why haven't
you know,
they done that yet?
It's like 3 inches to the left.
He like
now.
Goes to the doctor to get it reset.
Right,
that
right. That would be
and
cool.
Like, we could give you an. It's like a modern version. They just cut it off.
Yeah, that they would too.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a problem nowadays.
No, yeah.
I just had this image of you doing Cyrano, but instead of a fake nose, you
Is
just a have
big,
a dildo.
A dick, a
dildo
nose.
Stuck to your nose. Someday you have to do that. Just like a like.
I had thought about that.
Yeah, of course.
Sticking a dick on my nose.
Someday, I'm sure someone's done that already.
I'm sure.
Fucking hilarious.
This was actually
so
the last show that I feel that I did where I was an actual professional doing a show. I mean, because you can't dick around when you're playing Cyrano. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
There's so much that I have to do
in
the show.
Well, not all actors take it that seriously.
Right.
Let's put it that way. But really, the way to like step up and do it, whether you're doing professional theater or community theater, you really have to take the reins and like plan your shit out.
Exactly.
Or else you're going to drive everyone crazy.
Right.
Which we've probably both been in shows where that's happened.
I'm sure I've done that. I've been that
to other people.
Yeah, I'm sure I've been that guy.
Since Cyrano, everything has been downhill.
Downhill for me. No, and I'm not kidding, because after that show...
You're like, nothing can ever compare to this. I'm just going to fuck around for the rest of my life.
Yeah, nothing can. And, but I did nothing but like musicals, and I don't like musicals. But the music...
It's so funny. You have the most great voice.
Thank you.
Fantastic voice. You're so musically talented, and you hate doing musicals. It's hilarious.
You know, it's not so much that I hate doing musicals, but more along the lines of like when I watch them done or when I'm co-starring with somebody, it just seems unnatural. Because here we are, you and I, we're having a conversation and then the music starts vamping. And then we stop our conversation. We start vamping with the music.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we start breaking out into song. Now, I'm okay with that as long as we continue to tell the story. Because I mean, what is the song in a show? Nothing
What's
but dialogue
for?
Or a monologue. It's a glass into our inner psyche. That's really all it is, but people treat it like we're doing a fucking concert, and I hate that. you know, a lot of my bread and butter.
Yep. Doing paid musicals.
Yeah, was doing paid musicals.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really care for it, but you know what? There was a lot of money to be made out there, and, you know, I was getting cast regularly, so I was just chugging along, and that's why I was doing it. Then I just stopped, man. I was like, okay, I'm done.
That's interesting. So, and you even turned down paid stuff? You were just like, I'm done doing paid stuff.
I did.
You work for, like, pennies now.
Exactly. But you know what? You know what?
You're happier now.
Yeah, man. I am much happier now because I do what I want.
Yeah. I do what I want! I think you just blew out the speakers. But
probably.
That's Enrique's catchphrase. I do what I want. That's cool. That's totally cool.
But yeah, I mean, and you know, it's kind of a bit of a throwback to Cyrano, too, because he has that line, you know, where he says something along the lines of,
I do what I want.
I do what I want.
What does he say?
Seriously, well, I don't recall the line exactly.
But to paraphrase,
he says, you know, you want me to, you know, slave after this guy for what? No, I'm not going to do that. You want me to clean this guy's shoes? No, thank you. You know, basically is what he's saying. I would rather be able to stand up on my own two feet to be able to do whatever it is that I want to do, to breathe, to love, to write a poem, to do this and to do that on my own terms.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I've been doing now. Granted, I'm not a financial success. I may not be the pinnacle of society, but you know what? I am probably the happiest guy that most people will ever meet.
That's good. That's good. That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, man.
You got to be happy. You got to keep yourself happy.
Right.
When did you get involved with the Maverick?
At that time, that's when I met a mutual friend, Colin Rand.
Yeah,
okay,
of course, Colin.
So Colin and I, we kind of worked together for a while doing this children's entertainment touring show thing.
Yeah.
And he was off doing a lot of that. He was kind of working as my agent, getting me jobs, you know, mm-hmm. doing this thing. And I told him that I was kind of done with the whole musical thing altogether. And then he got cast in Romeo and Juliet as Romeo at the Maverick.
That's right, yeah.
And I guess you guys were looking for a Cornholio.
Mm-hmm, Cornholio.
Cornholio. And he...
And a Butthead.
With a Butthead, yeah, you guys...
Well, we got Butthead with Colin, so...
With Colin, yeah, exactly. I guess he had talked to Brian Newell, the owner of the current Maverick Theater and the director of the show at the time.
Total dick.
Total prick. Fucking hate this guy. And so he got me an audition, and Brian asked if I could suck a mean dick. And I was like, well,
yeah.
You know, I
actually, that's probably what he really did.
Yeah, that's what he asked.
How good are you at fellatio?
Well, I'm pretty good at fellatio. Let me show you. Look, you know.
But are you good with really small penises? Because, well, let me show you now.
And then him and Eric Fuhrheim got in a line.
The Führer!
So I get cast in Romeo and Juliet at the Maverick Theater.
That was fun. That's where we met, actually,
that was
right?
Exactly, yep. Where we met. Yeah.
I was playing Friar Lawrence.
And I played...
Benvolio?
Benvolio.
Benvolio. Benvolio. Yeah.
Yes. Romeo's cousin. It was a great show, actually.
The costumes in that show were great.
Yes.
Romeo was your first show.
With the Maverick Theater, yes.
With the Maverick. At that time, we were performing improv, Schmimprov, at the Block. At
Correct.
The same time.
Yes.
I want to say your next show was Rocky Horror, or did you do something after? Just to say, we've done Rocky Horror how many times? Like 4 or 5 times.
Four times?
Okay. Enrique's playing Riff Raff. I'm at the bar playing the narrator for the whole show. Enrique would come out at the very beginning of the show and be like, ooh, who wants steak? Like, I was... The audience would be like, what? Who likes ice cream?
Audience would go crazy.
Every night it was a different thing.
Yeah.
Was it?
Because the thing
sometimes
of it was...
you'd be like, who wants a bistec?
Ooh, who wants bistec? Yeah, because like Brian wanted this like punk rock opening for the Rocky Horror. And we started off with this pretty rocking intro. And then I would jump out in this like chain and leather outfit. And just totally punked out and stuff. And just the first thing that would come to my head is what I would say. And,
yeah.
Or the first food or whatever. You know? Like, ooh, I like bananas. And the audience would be like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Put your hats together for bananas. Yes.
I love that, man. It's Rocky Horror. So, like, I mean, everybody's seen it already.
People go
so.
To see it to hear themselves talk shit. During the show,
right? I mean, not that we're, you know, you don't want people to have fun.
Absolutely. There were a couple of nights that, like, every 3 or 4 lines, it was like a callback.
We would trash on them pretty badly.
We would. Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of times where I think...
You should have farted on them.
I should have farted on them.
That would have worked.
Gosh, I remember one time I sat on this dude's lap and I started making out with him.
With a dude?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's pretty hot. I was like, oh, all right. You know, sometimes I wish that I was a monkey just so that I could grab my shit and throw it at people.
And not have to suffer from the fucking repercussions.
Yeah, exactly. Because how awesome would that be?
There'd be some assholes that would take you down for it, though, still, even if you were a monkey. But other people would be like, oh, it's just a monkey. He's too cute. He's playing with his poo.
Because I would totally be that guy. Someone pisses me off. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Eat some shit. Literally. Here's my shit in your mouth.
We opened the Maverick in Fullerton, did Rocky Horror, then we did Three Musketeers.
It was a great show.
And you were like the captain of the guard, right?
I was. Do you recall in Three Musketeers, we had just done this majestic sword fight.
Oh, yeah.
And there's dead bodies all over the floor. You guys are about to exit up the scene. Now, the set was built with this archway, and as you guys start walking by the archway, I let this biggest fart... rip.
This is supposed to be like our majestic moment too. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's like the Lord of the Rings when it's like dum dum da da dum,
and
all the fucking characters walking through the fucking hills, and they're like all looking badass and majestical. Rike just let one go.
And then I just remember someone saying, "This one's still alive," and you guys start stabbing me as the lights go down.
What the?
Oh, man.
Were you dead?
I was supposed to be dead. I was dead in the arch.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because I died right there in the arch. And you guys are like, oh, we must rescue the, you know, whatever. And you guys are walking out. And here's this, you know, music playing. Bum, 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 bum. And you guys, you know, walking, marching out. And then just... And you're like, oh, this one's still alive. It starts stabbing. You can tell that the audience heard it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You and me had a sword fight in that show.
Yes, yes.
At one point, it totally broke down. Like, the choreography was gone.
Yeah,
and
we
were just like, I don't know what to do. And then we just started like...
We just started wrestling.
We started wrestling and grabbing each other's ass and like...
Yes, yes.
Humping on
oh,
stage.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Take it. Ooh, you like it.
Put it in your mouth.
Ooh, bananas. Ooh, you want some ranch dressing?
I'll give you some special ranch, bitch.
Ooh, gobble gobble. Yep. You were in my Hamlet.
I was in your
Hamlet.
You
were my Horatio.
Yes, I was your Felatio.
Because you just delivered those lines so eloquently with feeling.
Thank you.
And that was fun, and I remember...
That was a great show.
When you brought the globe on stage. it was like, they're supposed to be in medieval Denmark, and they bring a globe on stage. When I heard about it, I was like, that makes complete sense.
It made sense to me at the time.
When the world was known as flat, they bring a globe on stage.
I didn't know this.
I know you didn't think about it. Yeah, it's fine. It's totally fine.
They tell Horatio that Hamlet had been abducted by pirates or some shit like that. I don't even remember. My brain, I'm thinking, okay, so he's on a ship and the ship is clearly sailing. So if they're sailing, they must know at this point that the world is round.
Because they've been in the ocean. Because
they've been on the ocean, you know. So that's why I was like, it's cool if I bring a globe on stage. Because that was my gift to Hamlet after he had been abroad for so long.
You're
I gave him a globe.
Dude, just to make you feel better, here's a globe.
Here's a globe.
The world isn't flat, motherfucker. Think about that shit. Philosophize, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Do a fucking soliloquy about that shit. And what did Hamlet do? To be or not to be. He's still thinking about death and life.
Right.
And
you know what? I think the funniest thing about that globe was we had a fight.
That you pulled it out of your sphincter.
Yes.
At one point.
And here's a globe.
Hamlet, I have a present for you.
Was that we had to find a way to get the globe off stage. And once we figured out...
spider phone.
It's my spider phone.
Oh,
is tingling.
Shit.
I should probably silence that.
no.
Once we figured out...
Spider globe. Spider globe.
Does whatever a globe can do.
Pulls the globe out his butt. Then he lets out a big old nut.
Yes.
All right, continue.
Yes, was that we had to get this globe off stage because, you know, the last poor Yorick monologue was about to come out.
Oh, my
and,
God. You had no way to get it off stage.
We had no way to get it off stage.
You're like, we're supposed to be at a graveyard now.
Yeah, exactly. So me and my sheer genius decide, hey, you know what? This gravedigger has a skull. I shall barter said globe for the skull.
I'll trade you the skull
for the globe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he goes for it. He grabs the globe. Swings it around, not realizing that this thing had an electrical cord that I had been cupping the whole time. The cord goes swinging out. I lose it. at this point. There was no way to get me back. I was laughing so fucking hard.
Too fun. And of course, electricity hadn't been invented at that point. So
no.
It makes even more sense.
Exactly. So I completely destroyed that scene.
Here's another thing to philosophize about, Hamlet. The world has a tail.
With two dicks.
Okay, so you did your own show at the Maverick. Mm-hmm. It was called Max Goblin.
Max Goblin and the Goblin Net.
It came from a show in L.A., right?
Yes, it came from a show in L.A. called The Dungeon Master.
Okay.
You know, I used to go to see the show all the time, and there was a lot of really cool people that would go there. I met Billy Campbell through there, the Rocketeer. Mm-hmm. He was actually one of the cast members, and Bruce Young is the other guy's name. He was in the TV show The Sentinel, and he had done a bunch of different projects as well. This was his thing, is that he would do this live-action role-play adventure in Santa Monica, and I loved going to do this show. You know,
sounds like fun.
It was a lot of fun. You know, you get to create your own little character, go through this adventure that they would write. You interact with these characters, and depending on what you as a character do dictates where future shows would go. Every show was completely different week to week.
Audience participation.
Yeah.
And you could actually be in the show, right?
Yes.
And that's basically what Max Goblin kind of turned out to be too.
The whole concept Dungeon Master, I asked Bruce Young if it was okay for me to use, you know, his ideas, and he was like, you know, with my blessing, go ahead and do your own show. And so I basically ripped off the whole concept of Dungeon Master and just turned it into Max Goblin.
And you were Max Goblin, basically.
I was the host, Max
Goblin.
You
were basically the Dungeon Master.
I was the Dungeon Master.
You were like this kind of disguised character.
I had this Commedia dell'arte mask with this like tuxedo and a hat that made me look pretty goblin-esque.
And when you were thinking about this whole thing, you were like, it needs to have a theme song.
Yes.
And I remember that's when you came to me because I have a little musical background and writing little ditties here and there.
The idea was that the opening was going to have
It was going to be super sexy, right?
It was going to be super sexy. I was going to have these three babes. They were going to sing and dance. And
totally naked.
Totally naked. Oh, yeah.
God, if you could have gotten them actually to do it naked.
I probably would have gotten more people to come.
Yeah.
To the show.
I would have
as
come,
well.
Like, on the spot, yeah. Probably.
So we worked on this opening theme song, and I really liked it. I had so much fun writing this.
Should we
with
play
you.
Some of it?
Yeah,
for
play
our
some of it.
There.
Yeah, let's play some it. Of it.
Here, oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is
it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Start out with the little
Chinese thing. Clearly, we need the fart in there.
See, fart humor. All right, here it comes.
Time for the show. Max Goblin, he's our friend. Max Goblin, oh yeah, oh yeah. And I think this was
Yeah, at this point, there was a little rap section,
a little
right?
rap, yeah, a little rap.
And
moment.
The goblinettes were supposed to...
Mucho sexy. Mucho sexy.
The goblinettes did a little rap here.
Did
right?
a little rap, and the yeah. like one of them will do a rap, and the other two will be like dancing around. And I think this was supposed to be... Brenda, who was the hot chick in my cast, and you know, this was a real happy, cute moment that she could go and do her little cute thing, and then it got a little rocker, and then the Amazon chick that I had in the show, she kind of took over because she was really dominating and whatever, and then I come on to the stage and basically explain the rules of the game, and then, you know, pick some people from the audience and on with the show.
The Maverick regulars kind of hung out for it and just were like, what's this?
Exactly. That is exactly the reaction I would get. Because nobody could figure out what the hell was going on. Simply because by that point, the story that I would have written out was all being in control by the drunken audience.
Yes.
That I would have
and
to bring up.
And the drunken audience was just like, put your balls on the bridge.
Exactly. And then they would wind up killing the wrong people. That sound effect was to signify that we were about to enter combat, and everybody had to move in slow motion as they were fighting so that nobody would get hurt.
And then we have one that was a little bit lower.
That one was to signify that combat was over.
And then at certain points in the show, people would cast spells,
they would
right?
cast spells, yes.
And then this sound effect would play sometimes.
No, 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 no. The no, 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 no's were to tell you that the spell didn't work. So, you know, if someone did a spell that said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, I want to get to the end of the show and make me a winner, that would play because that defies the rules of the game. If a spell was successfully cast, there would be another sound effect that would be like, oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's the one.
Wow, that's like a black man
that's
getting it on.
Yeah, that's Luther Vandross right there.
Yeah. Oh, and then this is your original theme
Well,
song,
what had
right?
happened was that the goblinettes just weren't working out for whatever reason. They just never got the choreography right. They never
so
got
you're saying the song
right.
that I slaved over in the very beginning of the show.
It wasn't you. It wasn't you, man.
They couldn't get it down.
They just.
Aww.
So I was like, you know what, guys? I'm just going to have to cut you from the show. And I created this new theme song. That would play, and then when it was over, I'd jump out on stage and, you know, explain the rules and whatnot.
Yeah. Right. It had the best sound effects ever.
Yeah, yeah.
It really
did. The sound effects, the soundtrack.
We always talk about Max Goblin still.
Yes.
Like, it always comes up in conversations.
Nathan McCarrick even says that the best part of the show was just waiting to see the train wreck happen, and that's why he stuck around.
That's why we stuck around.
That's why
we
stuck around.
It's
like, what's going to go wrong in the show tonight? You know?
If you look at the Improv from Improv website, there's a player named Max Goblin, which was you.
Which was me.
Another show that you and I did together was Giant Green Lizard, the musical. We're basically like, I was the hero and you were the bad guy.
And I was the villain.
If we go to really the inception of it, it was supposed to be Godzilla, the musical, right?
Yes.
But we couldn't get the rights for that.
No, somehow that company found out that we were going to be using the name Godzilla, the musical, and said, we're going to sue you for everything you have if you use the name Godzilla.
You had the musical numbers.
Well, the thing of it, too, is that you didn't even appear in the show until the second act.
That's true. The first act
was all insinuating that you existed and that you were rampaging in the middle of Japan.
Yes. And it was your sort of story of how
it was
you
my origin
turned
story.
Into the supervillain.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Your name was Bonaire.
My name was Bonaire.
The show was written by
Boner.
That's right, everybody calls him Boner. It was written by Jeremy Gable.
Jeremy
actually.
Gable, yes.
Fantastic playwright.
Yes. He has written multiple award winning productions.
Oh yeah. He wrote a comic
as
a superhero.
American Way.
American Way. That was directed by the Führer.
By the Führer. And it was assisted directed by C'est moi.
Who?
Me. C'est moi.
Oh,
c'est moi.
Are you being French?
I was trying to be French.
I wonder it smells in here.
Yeah. Would you like some French fries with my fart? My fart in your general direction.
I needed the crap.
Well, see, we needed more Ernie Lee.
Oh, Haru-san.
Oh, Haru-san. But you know what my favorite moment of that show was? It was towards the end of the show where my character Boner is sitting there and he's like getting attacked by the Japanese military and this helicopter comes in and you know, I'm supposed to
this
fight off
this model. Like Brian Newell built Tokyo Skyline basically and
that
little models of the city, which was this was the coolest part of the show probably.
Yes.
We literally had buildings that could be taken apart and we would just like
destroy them.
We'd like break them in half.
Yeah.
I at one point me as Gizzard would take the building and smash you over the head with it.
Yes, cool. And that's my favorite part, literally, was that part. The helicopter would come in this one particular night where nothing went right. I grabbed the helicopter and it fell off the stick and I couldn't get the freaking chopper off stage, and so I just chucked
just
it like
it,
a football.
Yeah.
And then you and I are about to get in a fight and you're about to spray me with your acid breath.
Exactly.
And the silly
which was
string.
Silly string.
Yeah, which was silly string.
Yep.
And none of it came out of the can.
It wouldn't come out of the can.
And you're like, oh my God.
What
oh my God.
Do?
What am I going to do? You take off your mask and you hock a loogie in my face.
I'm so sorry. And it was funny though. Like the audience was like, he just spit on him.
The audience is laughing.
Oh, they did.
I am on stage in utter shock that Nick McGee just freaking hocked the loogie in my face. And I'm like, oh my God.
I have Nick McGee spit on my face.
It's like, it's dripping down my face.
I fantasized about this for years, and now it's happening.
And then I pretend like I'm in a porno and I start rubbing it all over my face as I'm dying. You remember
so
that?
True.
I started rubbing it in my face.
I do remember that. You're like, ooh,
it's so good.
Bodily fluid.
And then we had to close down the show because it became way erotic. Speaking of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, I was in that show.
You were the original Torg.
I was the original Torg.
So the first time we did Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, you played Torg the robot.
The robot, yes.
That was always fun for me because I originated the role of Kemar.
Yes.
And I got to give you the Torg commands.
Yes.
And I remember having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. I always wanted you to do something completely new that I would have to figure out, how do I pantomime this as a robot whose facial features do not change? How can I convey what this robot is doing or thinking?
Everything with Torg is about movement. We tried to make you do different cool stuff.
Right. The wink, I think, was brilliant.
Wink, Torg, wink. Cry, Torg, cry. The tears of the robot.
That was fun. I love that show. I love doing Torg. Torg was so much fun.
What's great is like you feel like Torg has a soul.
That's what I really wanted to get out there. Torg has become, I think, like the mascot of the show.
Yes, he totally is. He's the cheerleader.
The cheerleader, exactly.
The robo cheerleader with no tits. A gigantic chest, but no titties.
Just these giant nipples that always seem to find a way to fall off during the show.
Huge areolas.
Huge areolas.
Tuning in Tokyo.
Self-check, Torg. And then I did Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, you've been in Night of the Living Dead every
incarnation.
Because you were Mr. Zombie lover.
I am a zombie big, film gigantic lover. Zombie fanatic. And so when Brian wanted to do the show, I was like, look, man, I know everything about zombies. Mm-hmm. I've got every fucking movie. Let me be a part of this.
Well, you're a good zombie, if anything. Like, you know zombie, how to be a zombie, and you know the makeup, and you're great with the physicality of it and everything. You've seen every zombie movie known to man. And you share all that with the cast, too. Like, I mean, you're like a leader in the zombie horde.
And I throw a party once a year, 24-hour movie marathon.
Your zombie marathon's awesome.
Yeah.
It's 24 hours, right?
24 hours, 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. once a year.
Yeah, I've never been able to last the whole 24 hours. Yeah, but neither have I. I totally enjoy it. If you could have couches for everyone,
right,
that would work for me.
What I wanted
couches
to do.
Couches where I could just sit there, and if I had to crap, like, I could crap, and it just not be like a toilet. It.
Yeah, just smear it all over the house.
I bet they have it for people who do, like, World of Warcraft and
I'm
shit.
I'm sure they do.
And then basically you would never have to even get up to take a shit. You just, like, basically keep playing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, all right, I don't have to worry about it.
It just sucks the crap out of your
like butt. an airplane chair.
Yeah. Like for the astronauts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where it just gets shot out to your neighbor's house or something.
I see the alleyway. There's this shit all over the wall.
There's a gigantic shit mountain.
You did Schmimprov before you really became a member. Yes. I say you were like sort of this unofficial member of Improv Schmimprov. Every once in a while, we would throw you in a show because we were like, oh, crap, we don't have enough people to do an actual show. Like, Enrique's here. Let's throw him in. And I apparently was the first person.
You were the first person. I forget who it was that didn't show up, but I remember Patrick was involved. Amber, Nishida, Jax. And
long time ago.
The team that I was on was with Amber and Jax. You guys had thrown it out that maybe I should play, and mm-hmm. Patrick was there, and Patrick was like, yeah, let's
yeah. play. Yeah, everybody was like all for it. And so you've been like the unofficial member for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I have been.
Love your roast appearances. Now, explain what you do during the roast.
The very first roast I ever did was for Amber Queen, now Amber Robbins. My roast, and I was talking to Patrick about it. So I was telling him that I had seen Amber's panties one time when Patrick got married, and I wanted my roast to be
like, you saw her taking them off or what?
No, like she was, like she was down on the floor and she was talking to some kid and her legs were wide open. I could see her panties, you know? And I'm like, I thought that was hysterical. I'm just sitting there staring like a total perv at her panties,
especially since Amber's like so pure.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And Patrick is dying laughing at the bar, and I'm like, I don't think it's that funny. And so he kind of helped me figure out what I should do as a roast.
Yeah.
And so Amber's night, you know, we're roasting or whatever. I come on stage after drinking a 40 and a half of Dos Equis, so I'm drunk off my ass. Someone's about to do their
thing. You don't fit any of the stereotypes of
not at all.
By the way.
No. You know, I'm a Mexican. I play Farmville, you know, because I like farming and shit. There's a bunch of cars in my front yard. None of them work.
We're going to go pick some fruit after this.
So this one person, I forget who it was that was about to, and I could see the look on Patrick's face waiting for me. He's like, okay, come on stage now. Yeah. Like, he's cueing me, and I walk on stage, and I'm like, wait, I have something I want to say.
He's not supposed to be in the roast.
No.
He just jumps on stage drunk and, wait, I've got something I want to say.
And nobody on stage knew that I was supposed to be there.
It was a total surprise.
The only person that knew was Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
I go up there and I'm like, I'm a good friend of Amber. And I saw Amber's panties. And I just want to say that I wanted to smell the panties, and she wouldn't let me smell the panties. And I start having this tantrum about smelling the panties. And I go outside, and I run around the building, and I jump over the fence, and I come into the front, and someone is now doing their roast, and I come barging in through the door, and I don't get to smell the panties. I want to smell the panties. And that was my roast forever.
Oh, God, it was so funny. I'm glad I was there for this.
Yeah.
So then the moment of truth came out. You came and auditioned for Improv Shmimprov.
Yes, the very first year that we did the Shmimprov Idol.
So this was years ago.
Years ago. It was a year that Donish and Justin Kupanoff and two other people that are no longer on the team.
Kind of vaguely remember this.
Yeah, and then the very end, it was me and Donish, and it was going to be one of us that was going to make it. And I thought I had a pretty good chance. Clearly, it's all about the votes at the end of the night, you know?
And it was like brown on brown crime.
Right. You know, either way, we wound up getting a Mexican on the show.
So it was all win.
Yeah, so I lost that first year. I made it this year, and the rest is history.
And you won. How was the experience of Shmimprov Idol? Was it nerve-wracking the whole time?
No, not so much anymore for me. I've gotten to the point in my life that when I'm performing, I kind of have to be confident and, in a sense, a little conceited, you know, because that then removes every element of being nervous or whatever. Like, you know.
Self-doubt.
Yeah, you know, it's like people want me here, and, you know, and people want to see me do this thing, and, you know, they're going to want me in their show. That's how I came into the audition. You know, they're going to want me here. I had to carry that in my head, and I really felt comfortable. I really felt confident. I had some great scenes with some of the people that were there at Shmimprov Idol, and that, I think, is what really helped me, is to have a positive attitude, to have positive reinforcement from some of the veterans, and just have some really killer scenes with some really talented people.
I, for one, was very happy that you made it.
Me
I was
too.
Very happy. I was like, finally, I can do some improv with Enrique. I actually like doing scenes with you because I'm very comfortable performing with you.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. It's tough when you are like, oh, well, let's improv with a new person because you don't know them. And
right.
You don't know what's comfortable with them.
Or exactly.
It's really kind of awkward.
That's the most nerve-wracking thing about Improv Idol is that you don't know these people.
And everybody's
And you don't
new.
Know how they're going to react. You don't know what they're going to do, what they're going to say. And if they derail a scene, you're dead.
There's you just have to make fun of them for being so shitty.
Exactly. It's been a dream come true. It's like the goal of my life.
First it was Cyrano. Now it's Improv Shmimprov, and you're done. You're like,
and I'm
all
done.
Right,
I'm going to
be lazy.
And I'm happy. Yeah. Play some video games.
Well, let us play some clips from Improv Shmimprov.
Let us play
because
some
this
clips.
Is the fun stuff right here. I've got a plethora.
A plethora!
Ooh. Do you know what a plethora is? No, but you have them.
And guess what else I have? A sweater!
I have Rambling Crackhead from the week before. Remember Rambling Crackhead?
Oh, I remember Rambling Crackhead.
That's such a game for you.
Oh, my God. Because half the time, like before I even joined Shmimprov, I was like the unofficial mascot, the guy that used to just yell shit in the corner.
Yell shit from the corner. And literally, Enrique was, they invented a game for Enrique to be an audience member again and
yell shit out
at any point during a scene. This is once again a game that Patrick came up with during the Game-O-Matic.
Patrick, what's your game?
My game is called Razor Crack.
My name is called...
That's working.
You gonna take shit from that guy?
You wanna come up here?
Seriously, no, I think you're.
So Patrick had a game planned out,
yes.
And then all of a sudden some asshole in the audience said some shit, and he's like, let's change the name of the game, and this is how this happens.
What you said was funny, what was it? Say it out loud so everybody can hear.
And at that point, we realize that's the game that's going to be
that
played. Okay, so this is Jamie Miles doing a scene, and at any point during the scene, Enrique's out in the audience and can say whatever he wants.
I can just interject, yes.
I can't look at nothing with you around here. You're always looking.
I'll tell you what.
Show me the titties!
Starts out with a real classic.
Show me those titties!
You can look at it when I'm done with it.
Well, but what if I want to look at it? What if I need? What if
you
I
can want to look at
some kids?
That's a karaoke classic.
Another classic from Enrique's
karaoke
hosting.
You can look at it when I'm done wiping my butt with it.
You just wiped your butt with it.
I did.
Don't want to smell it.
Okay.
funny. No, look at it now. Look at
it's
it now.
It's funny.
I was just dying on stage watching this. This game is built for you, man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Look at it now.
But yeah, I don't want it to. Cause
it looks like your dick.
Shut up. Come on. Calm down. I'm just some random crap head. All right? Calm down. All right? Okay? All right. Where were
no,
we?
No, where were we?
Okay.
You had your mom.
Can you do something?
Sir, I have a piece of paper with poop on it. I need to smell it.
You're using the powers of our imagination.
You're using your balls.
I should be embarrassed for myself. I really should be.
You have like a million things you can possibly say. I love it. You just have like a plethora of
a plethora of just crap to just yell at people.
It's great, man.
Do you think you can do better, sir?
And now you shut up.
You know, and that's the thing. That thing that was cracking Miles up that he was telling me, because I wanted it to be like, you know, yeah, I'm the guy yelling out in the audience and stuff, but I also wanted to be like, you know, that troublemaker in school, you know, the I didn't do it guy. Mm-hmm. And so when he started talking to me, I was like, it wasn't me. Oh, it was this guy over here. You know, a lot of people didn't see that I'm like pointing at the people to like, you know, next to me. I was like, that wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I like your hat. Oh!
All right.
I burned his hat.
Miles, it's fine.
Okay.
All right, so now...
Nipples.
The future,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, I don't know.
The losers.
You don't get to look at this magazine either.
I'm gonna look at his titties.
Because I'm wearing a shirt, you idiot. He knows that. Okay.
Right. Now you're quiet.
I want to look at the magazine.
Well, you can't look at the magazine.
I'm going to get...
You're not old enough.
What does that even mean? What does that even mean?
Splash water on
it. It means you had a porn on his underage.
Okay, that makes sense.
Come on, just let me look at it.
No, you can't. You can't look at it. You're underage. You were 12 before, and now you're 17.
I need to get older fast.
Yeah, you better hurry up and get old. You're aging at the normal rate. Ooh, look at how fast you
I'll
age.
Look in the face.
The regular rate for
look
aging.
Look at his nuts. Look at his face. His balls. Fart his mouth.
In his mouth.
Is that what I said?
I think
probably. That sounds like something I would say.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
I want to eat
asshole. Drop the bottle.
Well, that's just an accurate observation. Now you're just observing things that are happening around you.
I love how pissed off Miles God is. He does that well.
You know, and that was the thing. For me, it's like I couldn't tell if I was going too far with it and he was actually genuinely getting upset with me. He just had this look on his face like he was just going to murder me.
Yeah. I get that most of the time when I'm dealing with Miles. So.
Started stuttering at that point.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, because you know I said something about, you know, fucking you, but it came out pucking you.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, nobody could tell, but like at that point, like just the words weren't coming out the way they were supposed to.
Yeah, that's all right.
Started
You're
getting
a rambling
flustered.
Crackhead.
Exactly. I can say what I want. It doesn't have to make sense.
No, Miles, he's just tricking you. He's trying to trick you.
What?
He's trying to set you off.
Why would he do that?
So you can suck my dick.
Because you suck my dick. Yeah, that was a fun game.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I really enjoyed that game.
I think we should bring that back at some point. So we have a couple weeks ago, you and I played a game together called Show Me That Sound Effects.
Oh, yeah. That's brilliant. Nick McGee and I decided to create this game, and it was amazing.
Based on, it was basically a mashup of two.
Yeah, because he wanted to play Show Me That, and I wanted to play Sound Effects, and then like simultaneously, we both said, "Why don't we play Show Me That Sound Effects?" And
this is from when we rehearsed the game.
All right, combining two of our greatest games, Show Me That, and we'll just have some sound effects thrown in, guys, right? They're minors. And this is Show Me That sound effect after a warm round of applause.
Hey, Skip.
Ezekiel.
Hey, Skip.
I've struck oil.
I found a big rock.
Fantastic.
What cracked me up at the very beginning is we both brought ideas in at the very beginning.
Right.
Then I was like, which one are we going to go with? Or how are we going to integrate both?
Yes, exactly.
let's play stickball with a rock.
Okay. I've got, yes, we'll play stickball.
That sounds like a great...
That's me saying yes to you. But that's what we do in improv.
Yeah, we have
to
agree,
say yes.
Yeah.
So even if you have an idea,
you just have to
you
kind
have
of
to, you
move
have to
with
say
it.
Yes to the
yeah,
other ideas
to,
as
yeah.
well.
Idea.
Let me just
I like how you try to bring the oil back into the scene.
Yes,
too.
So I was just like, okay, let me plug the hole with my foot. So for most of the rest of the scene,
your
I'm standing in one place with my foot on the oil while we
Glorious.
Play stickball.
Right.
Why is the oil escaping?
No, it'll be sliding in the first piece.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll throw the stickball at you, Ezekiel.
You throw the rock. I'm not the stick.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I forgot this is just a rock. It's not a stickball. No. It's a rock.
It's a rock. Yeah.
This reminds me of that time.
We are so on crack.
We are on crack. I had no idea
For
what
no
was going
reason,
on.
For no reason, we're just high because we're playing a game.
We're playing
together.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was playing with your mother.
Show me that.
Your move.
Thank you.
I just was playing with your lower private parts.
Yeah, you were apparently. Playing with my tits, and I was trying to play chess.
two different situations.
It's like
again.
Your move, and then you start tickling my tits, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yep. Nearly lost my fingers that day. They're still intact, so I'll throw the ball at you, Zeke. All right.
What am I doing? What am I doing?
You're like a kid high on too much Kool-Aid.
No,
or
no shit, man. Oh my god.
Oops. Oh, well, somehow I...
you crossed your streams.
I totally crossed my streams.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
I was not expecting that clip to play.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Fuck, now I have to find our spot again.
Hold on, let me do the old wind-up. All right, here we go.
You do it.
You just hit a bat. Oh, my goodness.
That's why I'm not allowed to play ball anymore.
Entire colony of bats in the cave. This is hold on.
Show me that, please. Thank you.
Oh, what are we gonna do, Skip? It's time for lunch.
Oh, fantastic. I remember just the other day when you were making this sandwich for us.
Show me that.
Peanut butter and more peanut butter.
There's not enough peanut butter, Zach.
Peanut butter.
Wait.
Peanut butter.
And more mozzarella. Hang on. Let me bring the orchestra in.
I like peanut butter and mozzarella sandwiches. They're the bestest.
But they taste even better when you make them with an orchestra.
Or in the microwave, and then it blows up like my hamster.
Show me that.
Beep, 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 beep.
Thank you.
For those playing the home game, yes. I put a hamster in a microwave.
And I was the hamster in the microwave,
yes.
And I blew up.
Zeke, now that we've struck oil, we're going to be rich and famous.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hold on, I bet you that's the president.
Oh, what?
Yes, I'll take the Oval Office now that we're rich. Thank you, Obama.
Oh, boy, we're rich and we're presidents.
We are, Zeke.
That's great. Let's raise more gas prices.
Sounds bad.
$3.99?
Zeke, those prices aren't high enough.
Bang! Oh, I've just been shot! I've been shot!
Thank you.
That sounds like the best news
those
ever!
Those fucking consumers get so pissed off when you raise just a penny or two. They kill you!
I know, it's like math.
Show me that.
$4.98 plus one is $5.98.
Ooh!
$5.98.
Hold on, we need to add the symphony to this.
Mind-boggling.
Mind-bending shit.
Yeah,
right
this
there.
Is like Inception improv.
Move aside, Christopher Nolan. Yeah. It's Enrique and
there's
Nick.
There's a new writer in town.
Yep, it's called Enrique and Nick.
Yes, right.
We bring a symphony with us.
Everywhere we go.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Then we have our performance in the show. We were just so excited to perform together.
Yes, officially perform together.
We're trying to train for a fight.
Oh, that's right.
This is Show Me That Sound Effects after a warm up.
I don't know how to jump rope anymore. I'm just like trying to dance.
No. So we're supposed to justify why the sound effect just happened,
yes.
Basically.
You were,
I don't know.
You were working your shoulder.
I was working the shoulder.
And then I was giving you a massage.
Yeah.
Trying to work the kink out of it.
Exactly.
It sounded like a bunch of horses.
Just the other day, this bully on the street came up to me and punched me in the face.
Sorry, that. Yeah. Bad things in life, you know?
I do, but you know, in every laugh, there's a little bit of pain, my friend.
Well, that's why we're wrestlers.
Goddamn horse is inside of my shoulder, man. After he punched me in the face, my shoulder's never been the same. And I'm hungry as a horse.
Let's go get you some salmon and some beef and some...
I love salmon.
I had to make fun of the way you pronounced it.
Yeah, exactly,
it.
You fucker.
Great.
Yeah, you need the protein.
That's fantastic. You know, I'd fight that guy.
You should fight that guy. Like you fought the guy last week. Remember that?
It looked like we were going to be like sumo wrestlers
at first.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
And then we charge at each other. We just start slapping each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Slappy hands.
Yeah, slappy big slap hands.
I was embarrassed to be your friend.
I know, that's why I need your help, you know? I need your help to help me fight because, well, I know that you trained with the best. She said she was 18 anyway, right?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I know you're kind of small, but I am 18.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, if she says it, that's legal, right?
Totally. Weren't you wearing those glasses that make him look big? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Like, spear goggles. Yeah.
Anyway. This salmon. Let's train because
because
training is what I'm all about.
Then that's right. Man, you ate that sandwich like you swallowed that cock the other day. By cock, I mean chicken. You know.
Yeah.
Cock is funny.
The guy was telling me how to chase a chicken.
That's what.
It's like in the movie Rocky, right?
Right.
Show me all that, please. All right, Rock, you gotta take this.
First of all, we're like going back into Rocky, one of the best movies ever. We're doing the chicken scene, and I'm like, chase the chicken, Rock.
And then
they start playing a machine gun sound effect.
Yes.
And I'm like, dodge the bullets, Rock, dodge the bullets. And Enrique starts doing somersaults. Like
cartwheels and shit.
That's right, cartwheels.
Yeah, I did a cartwheel and a back tuck. And,
oh, and everyone was like impressed.
Yeah, because I'm a fat ass.
Yeah, they're like, yeah! Look at the fat guy.
Look at the fat guy tumble.
That's so impressive.
Oh, yeah, I put my mouth on his cock.
And by cock, I mean chicken.
That's the way it works sometimes.
Hey, he's a hardcore fucking dragon.
Yeah, he is, man, and he passed away. Poor guy, but he's only a couple tricks. Are you ready to go?
All right,
man, you gotta try to hit my hands, all right? Try to hit my hands. Come on, right. Make it work.
What? Time's up? Jesus Christ, you know what? I pay $150 a month for this gym, and the fucking bow arm goes off and I have to go home?
Yeah, man.
We could
train in the meat lockers, you know, punch some cows and shit.
Oh, dude, I totally remember that time we were out on the farm and that one cow was standing there and you were trying to court it?
Yeah!
Yes, of course, you were trying to court the cow. Which was ended up being me as a cow.
Yeah, you were the cow.
Bent well, over, I, as c- usual.
I saw the way he was looking at me.
I love that you go full force, just full like method, and you're like talking to the cow and like, yeah. So I saw the way you were looking at me there, cow. That killed me. We could have gone on like that for a long time.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to say you got some pretty eyes. And, I like that.
Schmimcast. All right, let's look at one more, maybe, like one-liners. Do you want to
do the one-liners from last night?
I have the one-liners from last night.
Hey, my Morgan Freeman's walking the bar. Sir, Morgan Freeman's. Morgan Freeman say, well, I suppose we'll march some more penguins out of the field.
I don't know if you could hear that. He said, I suppose we'll march our penguins out of here.
Yeah, there was a lot of March of the Penguin joke.
Hey, my Morgan Freeman's walking through the bar. The bartender said, I'm sorry, we don't serve Morgan Freeman's here. And they said, we will get off.
I think that was Amber.
Was it Amber?
I think so.
Okay. That was definitely Amber.
That was definitely Amber.
Yeah.
185 whales.
385 killer whales walking through the bar, and the bartender says, look, we don't serve killer whales here. And they're like, but we're killer!
Jamie Buster? Yeah,
it was Jamie Buster.
It was.
Whales walking through the bar, and the bartender says, we don't serve whales here. The whales are like, why? It's a sperm bank on the street.
385 whales walking through the bar, and the bartender says, we don't serve whales here. And the whales say, come on, we're in danger. And the bartender says, that's just a big shamoo.
That was Drew again.
That was Drew,
there we go.
Awkward European joke for rainbows.
In my country, we see rainbow.
This is awkward European joke, by the way, which is almost like a Borat type game.
Yeah.
Telling a joke that isn't funny at all in a awkward European accent.
Right. Just saying something that makes absolutely no sense at all.
He said, and in the rainbow there is spots of gold. Explain moot property.
In my country, we do not have rainbows. Things in sky are only black and white and you cry all the time.
European humor for sandwich.
In my country, we have sandwich. It's made of sand and dirt.
In my country, I throw my wife on dirt, and if she lives, she is sandwich.
I like my women like I like more. I like my men like I like my starfish.
I like my starfish
exploding out the stomach.
I like my women like I like my starfish. Being retarded and animated.
Big retarded and animated.
I happen to like my SpongeBob SquarePants, what can I say?
I like my men like I like my starfish. Ends it.
I like my women like I like my starfish. Stuck at the bottom of the fish.
And this is I like my women, I like my ferret.
I like my women, I like my ferret. In my pants.
I like my men, and I like my ferret. Legally mistaken.
Too bad in UK.
Oh. Just like slammed you, man.
I'm nope. Gonna shit it was on you. Car.
She shit in his mouth.
I shit in his mouth while I'm in
this car. I like my women like I like my ferret. With really bad sweat glands.
Because you know they are like the worst smelling animals unless you surgically remove their sweat glands.
I didn't know that.
They sweat profusely and they have like this oily glaze over their fur. I know because a friend of mine has
two only
ferrets.
When you put them in your butt.
Yeah. And, well, that's why you put them in their butt because he's wriggled right on in.
I like my men like I like my ferrets locked in a cage with a little wheel.
And finally, ferrets I love my women or I like my men.
Ferrets don't have wheels.
No.
A ferret wheel?
There's no ferret wheel.
But I went to the amusement park, they had a ferret wheel.
Ferrets are too long to have a wheel.
So is my dick.
Yes. Oh, I got a dick wheel.
Es de pene grande.
I'm going to put it in menudo.
Oh, I can stir your soup with it.
And like I like my narwhals.
What?
A narwhal.
I hate women like I like my narwhals. Yup.
Yep.
Yep.
Schmimcast. We've recorded enough for three episodes.
For three episodes.
Or more.
And we still didn't even touch upon everything we wanted to touch
No,
upon.
We didn't.
Well, for future episodes, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll just have to have you come back.
Yeah, and I would love to come back.
I would love to have you back.
Oh, I'd love to be
And I would like
back.
To have you on your back. Thank you for being on the show, man.
Thank
I appreciate it.
Me,
this
man.
Has been Nick McGee and Papi Munzo. Ooh. Enrique. Yeah. Enrique Munoz.
Yeah, that's how you find me off on the Facebook.
Yeah, you're on Facebook. You're on
Facebook.com.
You're on Twitter, too.
Son of Sinatra. Twitter.
You're the Son
the
of Sinatra.
Son of Sinatra.
Yes. Yeah. We got shows coming up. On Friday, March 4th, we have the March Madness Selection Show.
Ooh.
Are you going to be playing?
I hope so.
All right, cool. Who knows? Maybe we'll get teamed up together.
Yes.
That'd be fun.
We'll have the best intro ever.
So, and then the entire month of March is March Madness shows. Starting Saturday, April 2nd, we have the All Puppet Players Show where we battle against puppets. Did you get to see it?
I did. I thought it was amazing.
Was it amazing?
I thought it was great.
So we'll be doing that on the first Saturday of every month. All Puppet Players versus Improv Schmimprov.
Schmimprov.
I would also like to add that Improv Schmimprov is available to perform anywhere and anyhow you would like. We can perform at your bar mitzvahs, at your birthday parties, at your christenings, at your baptisms. Whatever you like, folks. We will do what you want. You can see Enrique and I do Improv Schmimprov at the Maverick Theater Friday and Saturday nights. We're not in every show, but just You'll show up. Lucky. We'll probably be there anyway.
Yeah, we will probably.
We'll do a show for you.
Yeah, we'll do a pre-show in the parking lot.
We'll pull our wieners out and do a little a puppet show.
A little puppet show with our
It's
penis.
The All Penis Players.
Yay, there you go.
Ooh, pene grande, oh, no so grandes. Pene pequeñas.
Your penis got a ring in it.
You can see The Wedding Singer, the musical at the Maverick playing through April 9th every Friday and Saturday night. And then starting April 15th is The Count of Monte Cristo.
Ooh.
El Count de Monte Cristo.
El de Monte Cristo.
Ooh, he wants revenge and shit, dog.
A sandwich.
That plays through May 21st. And after that, we open Chicago, the musical. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nick McGee.
This is Enrique Munoz. The show must go. So on with the show.
Take your pants off and give me a blow.
She's looking good. I think she's a hoe.
She jumped on my dick, and now I want more.
I want to make some pizza. Let's make dough. And the show is over.
Thank you for listening to Schmimcast. Remember, for the latest episodes of Schmimcast, please visit www.schmimcast.com. You can email us at schmimcast@aol.com and hit us up on Twitter at Schmimcast. It's S-H-M-I-M-C-A-S-T. That's twitter.com/schmimcast. And now,
improv out.
I get a fart.
Me too, actually. I really need to fart.
Oh. Oh.
That's a good one.
Oh, man. That's going to smell.
Schmimcast.